This is Take My Tone, a podcast where two people swap songs and we find out if opposites attract or react. In this episode of Take My Tone, returning from the Sunshine State, embracing the power of a mango and beauty of the jacaranda, it's Dane of Pushing Through Blue. McDane, can you do it again?
Man, I hope so. Thanks for having me on. Pleased to be back.
A very state thematic intro there. So with all these border restrictions at the moment, you know, kind of got to give a bit of love to each of the states. So
absolutely. Share the love where you can, how you can.
So you can find out more about the mental health podcast that you need at the end of this episode. So we're going to hit it off with The Pitch. Okay, Dane, present thy tone.
All right, Simon. So on this episode, my song choice is Everything I Wanted by Billie Eilish.
And so why did you choose this song? Because this is probably a little bit more of an unexpected choice for yourself, knowing that you did Metallica last time.
Yeah, very, very different, which is a good different side of me, I guess, because I really do love these type of songs. And I'm really late to the party on this song here in particular, actually on pretty much all of Billie's songs. So this was a song that was actually introduced to me by my wife a bit over a month ago, so pre-coronavirus. To give you a bit of a context here and paint the story, we're actually driving home late one night from dinner and we had the kids in the back and, you know, they were sleeping and we just wanted to put on some nice, some chilled and Rach actually recommended this song. But as we had it in the car, one of the things that she said with this one here, not ever listening to it before, she said, put the lyrics on, which I never knew. You being an Apple guy, so you'll be all over this. I actually never knew this was a feature in the Apple Music that you can actually put on the lyrics. So it was one of those songs for the lyrics. And I remember like listening to this song and reading the lyrics and then just when it finished, like looking at Rach and just going, wow, like amazing. And then, you know, Rach just looking at me back and going like, I know, right? Like it's a simple song, you know, both lyrically and musically, but it just leaves like this big emotional impact on you. Well, it did me anyway, so.
I feel like that your emotional impact as you were staring at your wife would have been even greater had she not had her feet up on the dashboard.
Oh, so, mate, none of that in my car, I tell you what. Holy dooly.
That probably seems a little random, but it's a bit of a throwback to the latest episode of Some Assembly Required, where both Dane and I featured on the episode, so you can check that out if you want to know more. But I'm very keen to talk about this, so rather than, you know, spill my secrets, I'm going to listen to a bit of the song. So some song credits, Everything I Wanted, written by Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell. It's released as a single, copyright 2019, Darkroom and Interscope Records. So it's her preview of this song.
With me, and you say, as long as I'm here, no one can hurt you. Don't wanna lie here, but you can learn to. If I could change the way that you see yourself.
Okay, Dane, you ready to hear what I think?
Yep, I am. Hit me with it, Simon.
So, off the bat, I hadn't heard this before, but I'm relatively familiar with like Billie's diverse style. Listening through it the first one or two times, very easy to listen to, very replayable. So I really liked that part of it. But digging into the song further, I really feel like you can't fully experience like the little details and stuff that have gone into this unless you put on a good set of headphones. It is, the core of the song is a very subdued and lonely sort of filtered piano sound. And like a lot of the production on Eilish's songs, it's very organic sounding. It has a really sort of subtle, rounded and warm kick and a clap-like snare. So what I like most about this is that, you know, rhythmically, they've added this percussion in, they've given it a beat, but it's taken the back seat and everything is so, like, it's actually quite like an intimate song, you know, for lack of a better word, because it's very close to the microphone and the music is just, all the elements are there, but nothing is pounding or blaring or in your face. It's a very awesome minimalist approach. And that's what I really got out of it. That's why I really think you need the headphones for it. There's also a lot of cool little intricate effects, like quick little stereo pans and like precisely placed delay. So you'll notice there's like might be a half second of a bit where her voice goes left, right in your ear, and just little things like that that only upon maybe even the 10th or more listen that I was starting to pick up on it. And songs that can do that, that come packed with little sort of nice audio surprises, I appreciate that much more, because it's like, okay, they've really thought about this. And as you say, it's a relatively sort of like simple song in its structure, but
yep.
Just I think its restraint is its strength.
Yes.
They didn't need to like chuck in some big sort of like heavy synth section or distorted thing or anything like that that maybe some other modern pop artists are doing. What I really like is that verse two builds with this stepping synth that fades in. And the reason I find that really nice is because they manage to advance the song without you entirely realizing it's happening. It just, there's a certain, the feel just feels like it's progressed that little bit. It's leading somewhere. One of my favorite parts of the song is the opening line of verse two with the, I tried to scream, but my head was underwater, and the automation of her vocal effect when she says was underwater.
Yes. That extra depth to it, so to speak. Pardon the pun. Oh,
it works so well. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, the filter comes in and it's just, you know, in terms of tying a production technique to what is actually being said, and then further on to that part in the film clip, it all lines up, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm so happy that you said a few of these things, like the keywords that you're saying, like the intimate. There's when, and it is a very different choice from my first one with Metallica, but I guess where my music taste resonates and has been for a long while is like when you're looking at metal, I like that melodic style. I love the hooks. I love things that emotionally grab you.
Yes.
You know, things, whether it's riffs or lyrics, you know, I mean, like I grew up with Linkin Park and, you know, immediately that music would hook me. And then when you dived into the lyrics, that would just absolutely claw into you more so that you fell in love, you know, with these songs. And I feel like this particular song, and maybe it was the way that it got me as well with regards to both reading and listening, and that's why I'm really interested in getting your perspective on that as someone that's probably just listened to the song. But I'm a big fan when it comes to songs like this where you have this like powerful, amazing vocalist where they keep it, and it's this really balancing act that some people can do and some people can't, where they keep it restrained, and it's so hard, but when it's done, it is done so effectively that the story, being, you know, the storyteller, the vocalist, that emotion comes out. And I'm a big fan of Evanescence. I always have been. Amy Lee, you know, when you're looking at My Immortal, just the piano. And my favorite version is with the band, because it just lifts it. But when you have that vocalist, Adele does it really well. Birdie, you know, when you're looking at Birdie and you do that Skinny Love, something that, you know, it's, to me, it's like that song that you could be, you know, in a room, you're walking past, you know, and you can hear it and it grabs your attention because it's that minimalistic, touching the soul, coming from a really genuine personal place that really grabs you. And I guess where it's like, I mean, you know, when you look at like when, I don't know, what's those reality music shows, you know, that were out there back in the day, and, you know, you had this like 15-20 second window to kind of capture an audience and whatnot when it came to music. And I guess for the majority of people, I'd imagine it's these key, you know, songs, these people, you know, that really capture you. And I think, you know, I mentioned Birdie with Skinny Love. I think that was used when one of the contestants did, they replayed that. Huge. Music is so subjective. So what, you know, I feel and you feel, Simon, might be very similar, might be very different. But to me, it's a sad song, and that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like sometimes there's something about listening to a sad song that can make us really feel good. And I think it's just, I think for me listening to this song, and maybe it's because of my background and, you know, something that I do with my podcast in regards to mental health, but it really connected to me. And I feel like it has connected with a lot of people, you know, and songs in general, especially songs like this, you know, where they come from a personal place and, you know, maybe they really hit you emotionally, you know, hits close to home. It resonates with what's going on in your world. I mean, look at us all going through what we're going through. And I mean, that's the power that music has. And coming down to the fundamentals, it's about that self-expression. And I think that when she's writing this song, because she did write it with a brother, I think she's invested so much into this in telling her story about she had a dream. I mean, like, if, like looking at the lyrics here, you know, we're looking at the first, you know, verse there. She's, you know, I had a dream. I got everything I wanted, not what you'd think. But if I'm being honest, it might have been a nightmare to anyone who might care. Like, to me, I read that as that she had a dream and she chased that dream and she got that. It was full of hurt. And there was so much as that's what she wants to do and it's her passion.
Mm.
You know, the journey itself has been so challenging in so many ways. And I guess what translates from this song as well is mentally, you know, and, you know, mentally it has been challenging. And she mentions her, you know, brother. Being such a beacon for her to keep her on track, to keep that positivity, to I guess cut through the noise and, you know, the lies we might tell ourselves if we're in that sort of state of mind. So I just think it's an incredibly personal song. It's a song that I would think a lot of artists would write for themselves but put away for themselves. It's a song that I feel like in her position, she emotionally invested herself and her story into this, like every line, every verse, so she's calculatedly put in there based on her own, you know, journey. And with this, it's something that, you know, maybe it's the noise of the people around her to say, you know, and I'd imagine, like, you know, I'd imagine she's got all this, you know, all these sorts of things, and she's taken that leap and she's put this out there and said, this is me, this is what I'm going through, and I hope it resonates with other people.
And that's really like her in general, like she's really gone against the grain of, you know, like even down to her look, she's completely gone against wanting to have anything revealing or anything like that would be judged by in that sort of like typical pop artist sex symbol type of thing. And she's like, no, I want people to judge me for, you know, the music and the artistry only, pretty much. Which I think is really great, and also really great for someone at such a young age like she is. Perfect, like you described about where you can have someone just a voice and a piano. You know, it's the simplicity, it's the fact that there's nowhere to hide. You can't cover up any of that.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's so honest, and that's what works so well with this. On the flip side to it, though, is that unlike, as you mentioned, contestants on those music shows, a lot of them go for those big belty notes and big over the top and, like, you know, vocal roller coaster sort of Mariah Carey type stuff. Whereas her thing, her shtick, her style that she's made is very much in that whisper style vocal. But what's so great about it is that the chorus of this, you know, there's a layered vocal there. But and it's very memorable and it feels very genuine, but it also, she somehow manages to make a chorus sound like it's soaring, even though it's very softly sung.
Yes, yeah,
at 100%. The same time, and that I think to nail that is so great.
Yeah.
And to me, I agree with the sentiments of it being a sad song. I also feel like it strikes that balance between melancholy and beauty.
That's right.
In equal measure. I also really love the pronunciation of like the words here in the chorus, where she kind of goes into more like a here sort of thing. It's got the vibrato at the end of it. It just makes it sound much more fragile. And yeah, stylistically, it sounds quite cool too. So yeah, it is definitely what I love overall about the song, but particularly that chorus, is it's just much more a ethereal approach as opposed to like a big belter. Sort of thing that you might have expected maybe more during the 90s or early 2000s.
You need the nail on the head. Like, that chorus is such a standout. And, like, to me, when I was listening back to it, I look at it as well as that, and this is my feeling, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but it's her brother on top of it. Like, I don't feel like they've double-tracked her. I think it's that he's throwing in there with the chorus.
And I only realised that once watching the video.
And knowing that, it just... it adds another layer to it for me. If you're emotionally invested into it and you're thinking these two who are so like there for each other as a brother and sister relationship, but even in further it going through what they've gone through, and, you know, for them to write this song coming from an emotional place, experience what they've experienced, and then just adding that extra layer there. And then when you see the film clip, which I imagine we're going to talk about as well, there's a scene there, you know, where they hold hands, and through that whole film clip, you know, it is very, like you said, melancholy. It's until that one scene, you know, where they go under the water, they hold hands, they look at each other and they smile, and it's just like, there goes the goosebumps, bang, bang, bang. Like,
you describe it now, I've got goosebumps.
It is just, and just things like that. It's, I love it. It's incredible. incredibly the more you look to it. And that's why I made reference to the Linkin Park, because it's the same emotional investment I got into that, you know, like love the music and then look into the lyrics, love the lyrics. You look into the, you know, the actual band members and their backstories, you'll love it. And then people applying it to different things. As I said on the first episode when I was in here, you know, talking about, you know, anime, you know, the videos there and how they create emotion and feels on the back of, you know, both anime, which people are heavily invested in, and, you know, these songs and this, and the songs and messages tied to that. So I think there's a common theme here with me and music, so to speak. And I guess the people out there know anything hooks, anything emotionally that you can get invested into, I'm all in.
He's all yours. Well, just to kind of slightly veer off track, I'll cover any possible dislikes, and it's barely even a dislike, but I think upon first couple of listens, it was probably the closeness of some of the verse vocals that was about to verge on ASMR territory.
Okay.
For me, it doesn't cross that line. It just, at first, it felt like it was going to get just like someone really like whispering in your ear, and whispering in the ear is fine, but when you hear the mouth noises with it, like we spoke about in Some Assembly Required, but it doesn't go there. And now it doesn't even remotely affect me at all. But I think upon those first couple of listens, I was like, please don't, oh, no, it's fine, sort of thing. And so I guess that's more of a little adjustment period, but barely even a dislike. That was the only thing I could sort of take out of it.
There was something that, in listening to the song, there was a video there on Apple Music, where she gets interviewed by someone, I don't know whom it was, but they talk about the recording of this, and that she actually, I'm pretty sure that she said that she recorded this in different places at different times. So it'd be interesting if that played a role as to the overall.
I just found once I realized the level of what the lyrics were saying in terms of her and her brother, and that opening statement of Phineas is my brother and my best friend.
Yes.
I was like, wow, this is completely sort of kind of changed the vibe for me. What I like about this is actually quite a simple, like a minimal video clip, but very effective, much like the song. And so, yeah, you've obviously got this, you know, her and Phineas in this car together, and, you know, it's geared around the sibling relationship, and they're looking very despondent, very kind of like, just lethargic and everything. And then once I hit the first chorus and I saw that he was singing, I was like, that's awesome. And so now with that in mind, listening back to it, another little tasty kind of like audiophile piece that I found with this is that his voice, given that it's lower, in the chorus almost sounds like the bow across a double bass.
Okay.
Like it's almost giving an orchestral vibe in little parts. Like just, it's got that certain, it's almost like you could slightly mistake it for they've added a little bit of orchestral, you know, flavor to it. Also really love, as you said before, with the verse two and we said about it going underwater, the car hits the water.
Yes.
And they're still sort of the same. And then once they look at each other and hold hands, and then you get the first smiles, to each other. And the way that sort of just continues, and you've got this car that's silhouetted out and blurs into the depths, just very visually, it's very interesting as well. It's sort of like they've just kind of like got to the point where they've accepted that, okay, this car is sinking, we're going to die, but we're just completely content being together at this moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Once again, it's like the subjective at the end as well. You know, it's like, I guess, Sopranos. There's so many, you know, symbolisms that you can take out of it. The way that I read, like the way I'm looking at this song as well, is that she's talking about her journey with regards to following her passion and getting into it and reaching that success or that she wanted and the challenges that come with it. So, I mean, you can interpret it in two ways. Would I do it again? Would I do it again? Saying that, you know, if I knew that this road, me working so hard to follow my passion, to do what I wanted to do, you know, would I do it all again? I don't, you know, obviously, as I said to you earlier, I don't know her background, but I can tell she's a very strong person for going against the grain, you know, to being very, what's the word?
Being more independent and trying not to be influenced by.
Yeah, self-aware.
Yeah, self-aware. There
she's
you go.
Very
yeah.
self, I think she's very self-aware of herself, and she knows that, you know, it's going to be a hard battle not to just, you know, conform and basically fold over like so many people, because they're told, you know, you need to be this, you need to look like this, you need to do these things. And I think like it leaves it at the end. I think the song really reflects well with the video clip. It's very simple. You know, they keep it open to interpretation. They put little hints in there, like the Golden Gate Bridge and going underwater and, you know, having those effects and the feel, you know, when they're holding hands and the rest of it. And there's a fine line there between, well, this is just simple, this is just boring to a point, you know, versus this is simple, but this is, I'm really getting this impact, you know, I can add on these layers, and there's little Easter eggs in here that if I dive deeper into it, wow, that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's even greater is at this point in career, you know, she's just, her popularity has just exploded. Still to this day, it's her and her brother doing the music together, producing it themselves. She directed this film clip.
Like, yes, that's the other thing. Beautiful.
Do you know what I mean? They are very much a continuation with that DIY part of it. There's no seven songwriters in the studio. There's no fancy, you know, like 20 grand a day video clip director or anything. It still feels like that she's very grounded, and I hope that she can continue in that way.
I hope so. And I think it's, as I said, it's just one of those struggles when you are, when you go against the grain, especially in that, you know, her personality. And she says it in the lyrics, you know, that she doesn't want to let them down. You know, she has that feeling of responsibility, has that feeling of, you know, there's still the noise that I need to get this song out. I need to reach these levels and things like that. You know, and she's mindful of that.
Cool. Well, I think that's a perfect time to flip it over to The Counter Pitch. I present Lightone, a song called Limbs by Fascine. So I chose this song because I only just recently discovered Fascine. It was through an episode of Against the Algorithm podcast. Malik Gale was a recent guest on my show, and he spoke to Fascine, and I liked what, in that conversation on his podcast, I was really intrigued by their conversation of their approach to songwriting. So I was like, okay, well, I'll check out some of their recent work. And I was really into it. They're an alternative trio from London. They've got three albums out, and this song being from the latest release. I feel like this contrasts the Billy song, as this song is has quite like a large and wide soundscape compared to the minimalism of Billie Eilish. But it also complements it because the vocal approach is very, it's quite mesmerizing, it's quite soft. And both those songs, this song and your one, neither sound like a commercial pop sound. So, they're kind of, as I said, it's got a bit of that contrast and complementation working. What I like most about this is having the art of being a heavily layered song that isn't very dense. So each layer is very, seems very well calculated and blends well. It has a lot of ebbs and flows in an almost sort of sinister sort of fashion. It balances light with dark. It's quite cinematic.
I'm great. I'm so happy that you said that, and I'll come back to that there, but that's very much a feeling that I got.
Awesome. I love the use of oohs and the hidden keys, and especially there's this intensity that builds. It starts around the 3-minute mark and brings you to the end. Unfortunately, the lyrics don't seem available for this yet, but I feel like because the vocals are very reverby and it's very much about the mood, it's to me, the feel of the song seems to matter more than the actual lyrics. But before I get your reaction, some song credits. Limbs, written by Fascine from the album Forge, copyright 2020, released independently. So let's hear a preview of this song. Okay, Dane, let me know what you think.
Well, full disclosure, I had not listened to this song before, had not heard of the artist before. And that, look, when I first listened to this, that intro, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that before, as I mentioned, is, I immediately got that Tarantino movie vibe from this, like especially that yes. intro. Like it just would fit so well into one of those movies. Like, you know, the first maybe 30 seconds, I'm thinking this would be a perfect Western, you know, something, some the intro, maybe something to, you know, a landscape, like someone coming through that. It was very chilled, very, very cool. I'm not sure if this is the right term for it, but I got it like a sort of chilled psychedelic feel to it. Yes, I don't know whether it's because of the chorus, you know, but I just had that moody type, that psychedelic feel to it. I think it's a, I was trying to think as well, like what would be the perfect setting to listen to this for the first time? As you mentioned with my song, you know, we're talking about like a really good pair of set of headphones, you know, I was thinking with this one here to be like a song best listened to like in a dark lit room, maybe, you know, yes, comfy yeah. chair, whiskey, you know, choice of pleasure, whatever, you know, whatever tickles your fancy.
Lava lamps maybe.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was not me on this situation. You know, I was out there, I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning walking the dog. Actually, I was mid song and, you know, dog took a turd on the neighbor's lawn, mate. I had to pause it. I had to reset myself. Let's go again. Come on, Lou Dog. But it was cool. It's very left field from, and it's something that I guess.
Yep.
It's definitely that chill vibe, and I like that. And I definitely feel like it would be something that I'd have on in the background. And you know, be pretty cool to listen to and just chill out to. I guess I'll go into some of the dislikes here. Is more so like, I guess, very different to my song with regards to the lyrics, you know, being the focus point. I feel like there's times in the song that the lyrics, you know, you can hear it quite clear and then they sort of get blurred within the music. So the music's sort of not helping the lyrics lift, or, you know, it's not like a storytelling type song. It's purely just the fact that it, like the ebbs and flows, as you mentioned, but I find that goes with the lyrics as well. So sometimes the lyrics in the early start can be very clear and you are listening, and then in the chorus sort of blurs out to the, you know, the music coming more heavily in, and there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. Because I guess, and as a result of that, I didn't invest myself into the lyrics. I didn't find that, like, I went straight to looking at what the lyrics are actually saying. It didn't have that hook for me to be like, I wonder what she's talking about. I just simply just enjoyed listening to the song, if that makes sense. Sometimes there's a song that you're just like, this is a really cool song to listen to. I don't have to get heavily invested. I'm not really heavily invested into what she's saying and if there's any subliminal message behind it. It's just a good listening song. And I think that's the sort of feeling that I got from it. Wasn't really any massive hooks for me. I think it would fit really well into like a chill out playlist, something that like would flow really well into that, so just on in the background. Yeah, I think for me, no huge connections on that side of it, but like, yeah, still a very cool song.
I think this is one of those things that like, if you yourself are more that person that really wants to, as you said, like with the Linkin Park and all that sort of stuff, connecting with the lyrics, for me, this is more of like a treat for those musicians and stuff. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's going on in here that you don't pick up the first time round or even the fifth time round.
Yeah.
Particularly with, like, as I said, from that 3 minute on perspective, you've got these layers just like building and building, and there's like a depth that's added. There's like a heaviness that's added. There's a bit of sort of distortion and stuff going on. And there's like this deep piano and these bells and things like that. And with the fade out at the end, you suddenly hear that there's actually been organ there the entire time, but it sort of doesn't reveal itself once the other layers are sort of pulled back and things like that. I'm like, oh, wow, now I want to go re-listen back and see when that part starts. And there's like just creepy little sort of piano bits and the verse is, you know, quite stripped back in terms of compared to the rest of the song, but all that sort of stuff together. And even just to me, the hook isn't obviously not being able to really overly distinguish the lyrics. It's just being able to hum it, be doing sort of thing. Like just having that melody stuck in my head. And I feel like with a band like this, very much being an alternative band, it's you as you said, you put this in a cinematic setting. You put this with like a very kind of like impactful scene or something that's happening in a film, as you said, it could be Tarantino or something else. And it would fit so well because songs in films don't necessarily, usually lyrics is much more the backseat, right? So
I think it's really important what you mentioned there. Like, yeah, for me, it might be about like an emotional connection. Maybe it might be just about hooks. Like there's a common theme, you know, with me with hooks and so on and so forth. But I think put into the right context, I think anyone can appreciate that type of music as well. Like diving in, as you mentioned, you've got that perspective and that ear and that background to pick up, you know, traits and techniques and little things that, you know, the nuances that go into music to build these, you know, build these tracks, you know, and there's a lot to it if you're educated, if you're made aware of it. But sometimes it takes a certain setting as to how they're used to make it really impactful for someone. Like, as I mentioned, you know, this would, like, immediately when this started, I just immediately thought, man, this would be pretty cool in a Tarantino movie. And sometimes you hear a song and it on a movie or something, or a TV series or something like that, used in a certain scene, you think, wow, that's cool.
And that happened with a recent submission I was given on Take My Tone, Northeast Party House, you know, electronic based music. And at first I was kind of like finding it hard to push myself into getting the right headspace for it, because I'm like, don't normally listen to this, this is kind of like not really sure. And then once the story behind the song was explained to me, and once I saw the film clip, it all fell into place.
And maybe that's an element to this as well, because unlike the other song, this one here doesn't have a film clip. And maybe this one here, maybe to get the full appreciation of the song, it's three layers. What you do is you listen to the song. Maybe it's four layers. Maybe you listen to the song, you look at the lyrics, you look at the video clip, and then maybe you find something with an interview with, you know, the band or the vocalist or whomever wrote it, just for that extra element, if you really want to fully invest into the song. And I think across all of them, I think you will get an appreciation, you know, even off one of those aspects. I think you'll get an appreciation for any sort of song as to why it was done. At the end of the day, as we mentioned, songs and music's all about self-expression, and I think people do it in different ways. And, you know, like art, you might see something, you might say, that's all right. But then someone to explain it, to how they created it, when they created it, what were they feeling when they created it, and the ordeal that they had to do to get it.
And that's often why I love behind-the-scenes documentaries, music documentaries. It just makes you instantly appreciate so much more, because you can see all the different things they were trying. You can see the struggles and that they had to line everything up and the songwriting process and certain roadblocks. So when you see that, I think, as you said, with any art, it can make you be very much detached from the current sort of throwaway culture that some people have, with like they just listen to a song, they give it 10 seconds, no, it's crap, skip, next. I'm like, I hate that.
You know, you mentioned that throwaway culture. If we can take the time to sort of invest in something, to understand something better, to you know, better insighted onto what it is,
yeah, and definitely
how it makes us feel and how it makes everyone else feel, I think we'll, it's only a positive thing.
So the lesson from this episode of Take My Tone is to take my time. Is what you're saying.
Invest in people and take my time look behind the curtains, because I think you'd be quietly surprised as to how much goes on behind the curtains and how much gets invested. And I think you've got a new appreciation to it, you know. Oh, that's like anything.
Unless you're a Broadway player, because I don't think they'd appreciate you picking up behind the curtains.
So. I think so, mate. I think so.
It's a good time to flip it over to The Verdict. Okay, so Dane. Will you take my tone?
Mate, I will take your tone. Once again, thank you so much.
Oh, wow. I was genuinely surprised. I was expecting, after everything we discussed, that it was going to be a no, but like a very like gentle letdown. No.
Look, I think you've turned it around for me. I think I came in here thinking, you know, it's a good background song. You know, I can see in a movie where it's applied and I'll get the fuller scope of it. But I think you've turned me, mate. I think, you know, having that perspective as to how much goes, you know, into it and the different layers and elements and what you get out of it as well, I think I appreciate that, and it gives me new appreciation to the song. So I'm keen. I'll take your time, mate.
Very cool. Very cool. And I suppose you have a question to ask me.
Mate, do you take my tone?
Without a doubt, yeah. I really, really like this. There's no obvious trendy throw-in. There's no extra slick production where it's not needed. It's kind of like as raw and honest as you can be without it sounding like a garage recording. Like, it's still very professional, but it feels very real, and that's what I love about it.
Beautiful. I got you on two for two.
Awesome. Okay, so thank you, Dane, for returning to Take My Tone.
Mate, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on. I really do appreciate it.
Can you please tell the listeners about Pushing Through Blue?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pushing Through Blue, so we're a mental health podcast where we help bring awareness to it. So I guess a little bit of backstory for myself. I did, and I do, I guess, have an experience and background with suffering from depression and anxiety. It was quite a number of years ago that, you know, I was really struggling. I was in a dark place, and I was very fortunate to get help and come out of that. And I guess from that, I wanted to hope that my experiences would help others to reach out, to start conversations that it's, you know, it's absolutely fine and it's okay to talk about your mental health, definitely to look after your mental health, that, you know, the stigma that we have towards mental health and mental illness is a stigma. It's something that we need to get rid of. And how do we do that? Well, it's my belief that we, you know, we invest in telling the stories of each other. We create that awareness. We, you know, we educate people that, you know, it doesn't discriminate, and it is so common, and it's a big problem that people have, not putting up their hand and reaching out for help because of that stigma, that negative connotation that's associated with it. So, you know, the podcast itself is, I'm very extremely fortunate to speak with guests from about their own mental health and their mental illness challenges, and just to create a platform, just to have honest, genuine conversations and help share that awareness through people's own stories and experiences, because I feel that there's a lot of people that aren't putting up their hands that may be suffering in silence, and I don't want that, and I don't think anyone wants that. And, you know, I just want to create strength for those people. I want to create awareness. I want to teach others that may not know something, like we talk about on this podcast, you know, creating that awareness of something that you just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And yeah, I just want to cast a big spotlight on it. And I just want people to start having conversations and seeking help if they need to, and knowing that, you know, your mental illness does not define you, and it's something that you will get through.
A whole load of solid advice from Dane himself, and Pushing Through Blue, I think, is just such a great resource as well, because you can listen to it in your own time. There is no extra pressure of like the face-to-face with discussing your own mental health issues and stuff like that. And every episode, I always get something out of it. So, and Dane explores all different aspects of mental health with different people's journeys as they guest on the show. So I definitely encourage people to subscribe to Pushing Through Blue in your podcast player. You can actually also subscribe to Take My Tone if you haven't already, and leave a review if possible. You can follow the show on socials. Just search Take My Tone. Everything is available at takemytone.com. So please share and let people know if you'd back a Billie Eilish beat, or if you'd embrace the scene of Fascine. So Dane, if you had a dream, you had everything you wanted, what would it look like?
For right now, let's all be safe. You know, let's all get out of this. What we now, let's get the vaccination. Let's just get everything back to normality, and let's just keep people safe and happy and well. Let's get back to doing what we do best, in the best and safest and quickest way we can. So that's my dream at this point in time. Let's come out of isolation.
Very positive and peaceful end to this episode. So thank you, and I'll catch you later.
See you, mate. Thanks for having us.